Hi, church. It's good to be with you again this week, and I'm really looking forward to what God has to share with us as a church family, as we are continuing to be flexible and continuing to meet in our homes and watch online together. Thanks for tuning in and being with us. For all those who are watching and aren't a part of our church, but have stumbled into and onto this video, thanks for tuning in with us. We're glad you're with us. I want to start off, as we do each week, reading a few of the encouragements from our church family. I love this time just to be able to hear from different ones as we're all quarantined. And so the first one is from Dale Mather this week. And he says, "I really like that in life we have choices. Whenever we find ourselves overwhelmed by life, we always have two choices. We can focus on our circumstances, or we can fix our eyes on Jesus." And then he goes on and says, "I also wanted to say that we can't wait to man the information booth again and be encouraged by all of our family. We miss you all." We miss you too, brother, and thank you for that encouragement. I think that's a very God moment right there between us, because that's exactly, fixing our focus on Jesus is exactly what our message is about to be. So thank you, Dale. Love you, brother. This is from Delbert Kane, and he says, "God will be with us, as there's no place that God is not willing to go and nothing he's not willing to do to show his love for us. He's already proved that in the midst of man's despair and confusion, he is always there. In him, there is always peace. The devil causes confusion, but God uses it. Evil always loses in the end." And then he said, "Appreciate what you and the church leaders are doing, Delbert." Thank you, Delbert. Love you guys both dearly. And can't wait to be back together with our church family here in the auditorium and not just preaching to an empty auditorium, except for Ray. He's here with me. So I always get to preach right at him. So he's going to be very spiritual next time you see him.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. That was a good moment there, Ray. So look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off this week with a prayer and jump right into our lesson on perspective. So let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this day that you've blessed us with. And God, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. And I just pray that as we jump into this lesson on perspective, God, that you help to focus us back on you in the midst of a difficult and dark time for not just our church, but for our nation and for our world as well. And so, God, we love you and we trust you even through this, knowing that you're bigger than everything. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I am a movie lover. I love to watch movies so much, actually, that I kind of maybe go a little overboard with movies. I'm the kind of guy that hates to miss anything in a movie, right? Like, I love to have the whole setting right there. So I want the surround sound. I'm a sucker for the popcorn and Coke at the movies, like those commercials that come on, and you know, you hear the popcorn popping, and then you see it on the screen, and you see it shaking into the bag, and then they put the glass of Coke, and it's got all the nice bubbles rising to the top, and you hear the ice clinking, and then the slurping, and it gets me every time, you know. So if I'm at a theater, I'm getting my popcorn, I'm getting my Coke, guilty pleasure of mine. But I'm such, like, I'm so into the movie that I don't want to miss anything. So I like portion out how much Coke I'm going to drink so that I don't have to go to the bathroom during the movie and miss anything, right? Like, and right before the movie, I try to time it perfect to go to the restroom and then get back just at the right time so that I'm there and can watch the whole thing. 5-hour movie, I'm staying all the way through. Like, I'm not going to the restroom, you know? Avery's kind of learned to live with it, I guess. I may get home and find out different, but now she's fine. But like, when I get up and have to go do something or just turn off a light or go let the dogs in or something, I'm like, pause the movie, you have to stop it, you know, because I don't want to miss anything. And I do the same when she walks out. I assume that she doesn't want to miss anything either, so I'm going to pause and wait for her to get back, you know. And she's like, well, I'm just in the kitchen, I can still see the TV. It doesn't matter, because I hate the thought of missing any of the experience. Like, I want it perfect as I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. Because of that, I guess I love buying new TVs. I'm not like a fanatic over this, you know. I don't have a ton of TVs. I got two TVs in my house. But I enjoy the process. I like to find the one that's going to have the nice HD, the best color, the best quality. It's just something I enjoy. Because when I get home with that new TV and I turn it on, and then you see a picture, a movie you've watched 100 times, but you're able to see it now in a new, vibrant way. Man, it's something special about that. All of that to simply say this, there's something I don't understand. With as much as I love TVs and love movies and love that kind of stuff, some of you, I'm just not with you. And so if this is you, who I'm about to describe, I apologize to you ahead of time. You're still my brother and sister in Christ, but I just don't understand the people who have like the little TVs in their kitchens. You know what I'm talking about? Like that little monitor that's in the kitchen or sometimes in the dining room, or I don't know where they'll put them, but there's those little TVs. And then they have a really big flat screen TV in their living room, but they have this tiny little TV in the kitchen. And it plays the same thing that they're playing in their living room. They've got it on the same channel, whether it's a game or whether it's a movie, whatever it is, it's the same thing, and they're watching it as they're cleaning and cooking. And I just never understood that because those screens are so small and you can't see anything in detail. But then I started to realize that it's because people want to watch the movie or the show while they're able to do the cooking or do the cleaning, do these things. And so they may not be able to fully see what's going on, and it may be a tiny TV and you're like squinting and trying to see what's going on, but you can kind of still pick up pieces as to what's going on. The reason I go through all of this is because sometimes I think that that's how we're in tune with our spiritual lives. Rather than sitting there in front of the big screen, getting all the details, not missing a thing, completely in tune with God, it's kind of like we're watching on the small tiny TV in the kitchen. And we're busy doing all this other stuff, all the agendas and activities that we have going on and all the things that are happening. We don't get the full experience that God wants us to get. And then, I don't know if you're like me, but I struggle with this. This is something I really struggle with. And then I hit this point in my faith a lot of times where I start to wonder, God, where are you? You know, are you even listening to me? There's so much happening. There's so much wrong in the world. Like, God, come on. Where are you? And I start to think, you know, does God even care about me? And I wonder if God's not sitting there thinking, I'm just waiting for you to come into, for my metaphor, my living room and watch and talk on your spiritual life through the big flat screen with the whole surrounds. Like, I'm waiting for you to just come in and enjoy the entire experience. And instead, you're just watching in pieces. I want you to take a look at this video. It's a kind of a sneak peek into the life of this Christian woman. It's only like a minute and a half. It's not going to be long, but hang with it because I think it makes a really good point. So please enjoy this video.
Were kind of an anaconda strategy that Iran has.
The signage there to direct them, you know, to proceed.
But something has to be done because I can't have an event.
With the proven track record.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think that's
good. But I think that the longer you are in
a... Hey, get in a hole of that! Get in!
I'm just like, get over yourself.
Did you get any direction on what to do about the job today?
No, actually, I didn't. I don't know what the deal is. It's like, God is trying to ignore me or something. Good night.
Maybe it's not God ignoring us, but maybe we're just so busy and have so many things going on in our life that we're missing Him interacting with us. And maybe we're too busy to see him. And I know in my life that one way God's using this coronavirus for me personally is to help shift my perspective and to help redirect my focus back onto the things that he wants me to see. There's a scripture that was on my heart. I want to share this with you. It's in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. This is a great passage. Jesus is preaching that wonderful Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching his disciples these really important things. And he spends such a huge portion of this sermon in chapter 6 here dealing with perspective. Listen to this in verse 19. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And he keeps going. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" And then he goes on, "No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one or love the other." Then he goes into, after this section, I wish we had time to read it all, but then he goes into that wonderful section where he starts to talk about how he's going to take care of you. And he's saying, "Don't worry about the clothes. Don't worry about the food. I take care of the birds of the air. How much more am I going to take care of you?" Then you get that great line in the middle of this where he starts talking about how he knows even the very number of hairs on our head. But what I want you to get is this here. The conclusion of this section is this call for us to switch and change our perspective. It comes in verse 33, and he says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well." I love that word, seek, seek. It's the idea of straining your eyes. You ever had, like, I have glasses, so I can't see very well. And so when I've got my glasses off, man, I have to like really squint to help myself to see a little bit better. And any of you who have struggled with eyesight before, you know how that is. And that's this idea here. He's saying, squint, strain to see me, seek not the things of the world, not the things that moth and rust will destroy. He says, strain to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God is literally begging with his people and his disciples in this sermon to seek him, to change their perspective off of the things that will worry them, off of the things of the world, and on to him. He's pleading with them to stop watching from the small television as they're distracted doing all these other things in life, and to come and to experience the fullness of God in our spiritual walk with him. I don't know how many of you were like me as a kid. I loved to play baseball, and I loved it so much that I would go out in the yard by myself, and I would have my bat and my baseball, and I would throw it up to myself, and I would swing, right? And I'd just play by myself, and I'd even run bases by myself. I was kind of a weird kid, but there's this story that I really relate to because I used to do that, and a kid was doing that same thing, and he's got his wiffle ball and his wiffle bat, and he throws the ball up in the air, and he says, "I'm the greatest player in the world," and he swings. And he missed. And so he reaches down and he says, "Strike one." And then he picks back up the ball again, does it again, and throws the ball up into the air. "I'm the greatest player in the world." Swings, misses. The ball lands on the ground, and he does it one last time. Picks up the ball, throws it in the air. "I'm the greatest player in the world." And he swings, and he missed again. And so without missing a beat, he picks back up the ball, tosses it back up into the air, and he says, "Wow, what a pitcher." And he swings and intentionally misses. I love that because it's just the perspective of that kid is so wonderful, right? Like nothing's going to get him down. Hey, if I can't be the greatest hitter, I'll be the greatest pitcher. And nothing changed in his situation, but his perspective changed everything for him. And I've got to admit something to you. This whole quarantine thing, it's a struggle for me. And I know that there's probably some of you that are like, yeah, you know, me too. Like, I get bored. I start to feel a little lonely sometimes. I get tired of sitting, and then I really get depressed when I start to think about all the restaurants that I used to go to that I would love to sit at. And oh, if only I could go and I could sit at, you know, Chili's right now, or Chewy's, or, you know, what, and all these different places I wish I could go. And then I start thinking about all the activities that I could do, or all the places we could go and things that we could do. And instead, everything's closed down, and I can start to just get a little, just kind of bored and depressed and down. I don't know if you're that way too. And then the other day, I had this moment. I was walking outside, walking in the neighborhood is one of the things we can do. So everybody's, you know, enjoying their walks. And so I'm out walking. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day. And I know spring's been going on for a while, but this like felt like the first day of spring to me, you know, and it was just beautiful. The grass was just real green. There was a nice breeze. It just felt wonderful outside. The sun was shining. The birds were chirping. I mean, it's everything you would want a beautiful spring day to be. And I'm out there and I'm walking. And then I just had this moment where I believe it was the Holy Spirit just kind of redirecting my thoughts and saying to me, man, Nathan, you're blessed. And I really did. I just had this overwhelming feeling of just being blessed. And I started to think about all the things that I have and realized that my focus had so much through this has been on the things I can't do, the things I don't have, the places I can't go. And I felt like in this moment, I was just awakened to the idea and to the thought that, Nathan, you are blessed with so many different things. And so I just began to have a prayer right there as I was walking and just started to pray to the Spirit, pray to God, and say thank you, you know, and begin to praise Him for the things that I have. The blessing of family. Like, I've got a family full of Christians who are all worshiping and love God. I've got a church family that's so encouraging and supports me. I mean, I'm alive. I'm healthy. There's so many things I have to be thankful for. And then I thought about my beautiful wife inside and out, who's there with me every step of the way. And then I thought, you know, I'm 10 to maybe 11 weeks from now, I'm going to be able to hold my son for the first time. And I just started to realize, man, God has blessed me so much, but it's my perspective that has missed it through this moment. And I was broken and began to just to pray, you know, God, help redirect me and change my focus. There's a man named William Randolph Hearst. He's a great publisher. And he read about this painting. And it was this wonderful painting, and he wanted this painting. And so he sent people in his business all over the world to search for this painting. Where is it going to be? Try to locate this thing. But people couldn't track it down anywhere. And then a year later, out of the blue, one of his employees ran up to him and said, sir, the painting that you were looking for a year ago has been found. And he couldn't believe it, and so Hearst said, well, where has it been this whole time? And his employee said, well, sir, it was in your basement. You owned it the whole time. And so Mr. Hearst had never read the ledger, you know, that had a record of all the things that he already owned, and he didn't understand the wealth and the treasure that he already had access to. He just had it stored in the basement. And oftentimes, I think that we operate our lives never fully understanding the blessings that are already available to us through Christ, the things He's already given to us. And it's because we're so distracted doing other things. And yeah, we're kind of we care about God. It's not that we don't care. It's not that I don't want to be in tune with God. But sometimes I just get so busy living my life that it's like I'm looking at my spiritual life as the little TV in the kitchen, and missing the whole experience. And it's not until we take the time to sit in the presence of God and to count our blessings, as the old song says, that we realize just how much we have in Christ. And this is so important to God. Over and over again in Scripture, He just constantly reminds us of our blessing and calls us to change our perspective. Take a look at these Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Psalm 103 verses 2 through 3 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Then I love it. He mentions these benefits. Who forgives all your sins, and He heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And then my favorite of the blessings of God, James 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. We are so blessed. We just have to shift our focus onto the blessing and off of the difficult situations we're facing. There's this young boy who was looking at the reflection of the moon glistening in a pond. I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that, but it's a beautiful opportunity. I remember being hunting with my brother-in-law, and we were there early, and the moon is out, and the stars were out, and not a cloud in the sky, and just seeing the reflection of all of that in the water. It was just a great experience, and this boy was experiencing that. And then his friend threw this rock into the pond, and the water started to ripple. And it was a pretty big rock, so there's a lot of ripples going on, and soon the boy said, "Hey, what happened to the moon?" You see, the stone had rippled the water so much that he couldn't even see the moon in the reflection, and it looked like it was gone. And his older friend said, "Well, when you can't see the moon in the pond, stop looking down at the pond and start looking up at the moon, because the moon hasn't gone anywhere." You know, during this season of life, especially with the coronavirus going on, but I'm sure there's a lot more that you're facing than just this virus. There's a lot of ripples in the water of life right now. Like, things are disturbed. Things are changing every day. We can easily feel alone. We can get down and kind of depressed and bored and dealing with all this trouble. And sometimes we can even, in the midst of all this, start wondering, where's God? Why isn't he listening? Does he even care about us? But the truth is that he's always there for you. You just have to get your eyes off of the difficult ripples of the world and of your life and look up at the moon that's always there. Look up at the sun. Look up at God and realize he's always there. Stop being so busy with life that you're looking at your faith through the tiny television in the kitchen, and go into the living room of God's presence and in his throne room of prayer and be, as those words say, be still and know that I'm God. Meditate on my word day and night. Search me, seek me, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God wants, not just in my life, but yours too, for our perspective to shift off of the things of the world and onto him fully, so that we can see all the blessings that he's given to us. And so here's the question I want to leave you this week. God is speaking to you. Are you listening? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for being a God who isn't distant, who didn't just create us and set the world into motion and then just left us and abandoned us, but God, you're an ever-present God who's here to help us in our times of need, within our struggle. But God, I pray that we don't just come to you in the midst of struggle, but that we seek you every day just for the experience of being in your presence. God, help our faith to become the forefront of the things that we do. Change our perspective, change our heart, fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. God, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much for being with us this week. I want to leave you with our blessing that we leave you with each week, and it comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." I love you. Can't wait to see you all soon.